May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this morning, the parable of the talents. You may be seated. Dear saints, you have no free will in regards to your salvation. God chose you. We saw this illustrated beautifully for us this morning in Madison's baptism. God wanted her to be his own dear child, so she gave her a mom who wanted the same thing. And so here she is. You likewise did not choose to become a Christian, even if you did so as an adult. God worked faith in you through his word proclaimed to you by family and friends and pastors. But now that you are a Christian, you do have free will regarding what you do with the gifts that God gives you. You can receive them in faith, like the first two servants in the parable, or you can reject them, like the last servant. This parable is not about the servants earning the master's favor. Even before the servants do anything, they are servants of the master. They are in his household. He gives them the gifts. He entrusts his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. The talents are simply given. Likewise, God gives you his gifts. You can't earn salvation. Jesus won it for you on the cross. You can't earn eternal life. Jesus won it for you in his empty tomb. You can't make yourself God's child. He did it to you through his word, through your baptism. You don't earn God's gifts. You are not good enough to merit them. He simply gives them. That is the character of God. He is loving, he is gracious, and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. This parable is not about amounts or quantities of gifts. The master entrusts his gifts to his servants in a way that he decides, what he feels is appropriate for that person, and likewise, God gives his gifts to you in that way, as St. Paul says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Lord gives different gifts to different people, all for the building up of his church, the body of Christ. It is a parable contrasting what the servants think about their master and his gifts, and then what they do in response to that belief. Thus, it is a parable contrasting a life of faith in Jesus with a life of faithlessness. What does it mean that two of the servants honor the master and his gifts? What does it mean that the one servant despises the master and his gifts? What does it look like to live a life of faith in Jesus? And what does it look like to live a life of faithlessness? Those are the questions we will wrestle with this morning. Of course, the master represents Christ. Jesus gave to his apostles and to the church his gifts, all that they would need to support their faith, to build up the kingdom of God. And then Christ ascended into heaven. He reigns at the right hand of his Father. He is still the master of all things, and he has entrusted his people, his church, with his gifts, to accomplish his work in this world and to accomplish his work in your own life as his beloved child. The servants in the parable then represent us, God's people. We can understand them as the members of what we would call the visible church, those who identify as Christian. What about the talents? In Roman times, a talent was simply a unit of money. It was equivalent to about 15 years' wages. So even the servant who only got 1 talent received quite a bit. We get our English word talent, the those things that we're good at from the same word. So in this parable, we should understand the talents as those things given to God's people, both the things needed for this life, house and home, food, water, family, etc. But more importantly, the spiritual gifts that God wishes to bestow on you. The gifts through which faith is created and sustained and the kingdom grown. The gifts which we use to serve one another in love. Talents are gifts. They're not earned. God's gifts are not earned by us. But what sorts of gifts? When you became a Christian, God gave to you the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins that he won on the cross. But he didn't stop. That's not the end of the gifts. You who are parents know this. You don't have a newborn baby in the family and then just say, oh, that's nice, and sort of let them fend for themselves, right? No, you continue to pour out your gifts upon that child over and over throughout their life, even when they become adults. You don't leave them alone because you love them. Likewise, God does the same. He keeps giving and giving and giving. Paul lists some of these gifts in various places: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. In other places, Paul speaks of the gift of teaching, administration, wisdom. But first and foremost is the gift of faith. Faith by which we know there is a God. Faith by which we believe that God created all things. Faith by which we see that we have rebelled against God and are by nature sinful. If you didn't get that from the hymns and the readings this morning, you might not have been listening. And faith that believes that Jesus died for sin and forgives sin and loves you. Faith believes all of these things. And that faith is a gift. But the gifts don't stop. Because God gives you the gifts by which that faith may be sustained throughout your entire life until your death. Faith is created and sustained only by God. The Lord gives to us his word. He doesn't give it to you so you can shut it up in a book and put it up on a shelf somewhere and get dusty. He gives it to you so you will read it and meditate on it and hear it from the lectern and hear it proclaimed from the pulpit. That's why he gives it to you. It is a gift. He gives you the gift of baptism so that you never have to wonder, well, am I really God's child or not? I'm not sure. You were baptized. You are God's child. Baptism is a gift. It's given. God gives you the gift of absolution, the forgiveness of sins. If we're honest with ourselves, we see what a mess we are. That's why we have to hear over and over and over again that you are forgiven. God forgives you. You are his. God gives you the gift of the Lord's body and blood in the sacrament. The supper is a gift. I'm guessing that every day you eat food, that's a gift. Likewise, we want to receive the gift of the body and blood of Jesus, the heavenly food that is good for our souls. Consider the last servant first. He was given the same gifts by the master as all the others, just a different quantity. And what did he do with that one talent? He hated it. He hated the gift so much that he treated it like trash. He did with it what you would do with something you don't want to think about or have to deal with anymore. He buried it in the ground. He no doubt went out and found other gifts to occupy himself with, things other than the master's gifts. This is a danger to Christians as well. What do you value more highly than God's gifts? What voices tend to occupy your ears more than God's word? What do you turn to as your source of identity, as the definitive statement of who you are, other than your baptism? What excuses do you make for your own sin rather than simply confessing it and receiving forgiveness? What ways do you attempt to sustain yourself, your mind and your soul and your heart, rather than the body and blood of your Lord. See, there's a problem. The world out there tells you something about the Master's gifts. It tells you they're useless, pointless, worthless, maybe even dangerous. You need to be reminded that that's not true. Don't bury the gifts of God in the ground. One day you will die, as will I, or our Master may return before that, and at that time there is an accounting, there is a judgment. Not a judgment based on your works, but a judgment based on faith in Jesus that was lived out in life in your works. Did you hear what the wicked servant said about the Master? He said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." He believed the Master was a tyrant. He believed the Master wasn't loving, wasn't giving him the gifts that he really needed. And this led the servant to despise both the Master and the gifts. He was judged by his own words, his own lack of faith. "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Dear Christian, let not that be your attitude toward the gifts of God. But the other two servants thought about the Master quite differently. But you notice they don't even really say anything about the Master. The evil servant says, "Oh, you know, you're terrible," and whatever. The other servants don't say anything about the Master. They don't talk about what they believe. They simply joyfully do what they know their Master wants them to do. They need no prodding. They use the gifts of the Master wisely. Why? Because of what they believe about the Master. They believe he is good. They believe he can be trusted. They believe that he will return. They believe that his gifts are generous. So they use them. They use them not to earn the Master's favor, for they are already in the favor of the Master. They use them in a response of thankfulness and gratitude toward the Master. That is your life. That is the life of the Christian. We receive the gifts of God that he has given us, and we use them for his purposes. We take the faith that we have been given and the word that we have been given. We read the word, we study the word so that that faith may be strengthened, and then we take that faith and we teach our children and our grandchildren. We take the word and we reflect on our standing before God based on our own merits and worthiness, and we see that we're simply beggars coming to God for his gifts. And we read the word and take heart that God is our God and our Master, and our sin is forgiven by the blood of Christ. We take that forgiveness we have and we forgive one another. We take the love that the Lord has shown us and we love one another. We bring our loved ones to the font, holy baptism. We receive Christ's body and blood in the supper so that we may grow in faith and service toward one another. We believe that God has given us these things for our good. Why? Because everything God does is for our good. We take all the gifts God has given us and put them in service to our neighbor, those whom God has placed in our lives, as a response of praise and thanks to the Master. I'm not a huge fan of personal illustrations, but I thought this one might be helpful. When I was working at Texas Instruments and we were preparing to go to seminary back in the 2000s, I thought, well, I need to support the family while I'm at seminary. And I knew Texas Instruments had a program where you could work remotely, and they had a separate program where you could work half-time or three-quarter time. They just cut your salary in half and benefits in half. So I had this idea. I'll go to my boss And I'll ask him, will you let me work remotely from Indiana, this is in Texas, and cut my salary in half and let me work 20 hours a week? Well, they thought about it for a week, said, okay, we'll try this. So for 3 years of seminary, I'm working 15 hours a week during the school year and 40 hours a week during breaks. And at the end of the time, my boss, we had a meeting, and he said to me, you know, I think I got more work out of you these last 3 years than I did the 4 years before when you were working full time. I guess it was sort of an offhanded compliment. But why? Well, one, I was super motivated because I wanted to keep that job. But more importantly, I was kind of actually blown away that they had agreed to this. I wanted to work hard for them because they had been so generous to me. That's what the Christian life is. We live our lives out of generosity and gratitude to the giver. May God grant that for Christ's sake, at the end of your days, he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. In the name of Jesus. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.